Lord God, we just thank you that you are our Messiah, you are our Savior, and we praise you, Lord, for that. And we just pray that as we come to this morning, as we come to your word, we pray that you would continue to encourage our hearts and build us up and strengthen us in you. And may we find hope. May we find joy. May we walk closely with you this Christmas season. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, I've been walking through this series. It's a wonderful mess. And this idea that the Savior has been born into darkness. And I don't know what your life is like, but if it's anything like ours, it's messy at times. But our Savior comes into the mess, into the darkness. And he's actually last week talked about how he's from a line, a very dysfunctional family line. Correct? And he looked at all those different, his heritage and all the different people that were a part of his family heritage. Jesus himself, you know, is really born from a line of outsiders. And then today we're going to look at this idea that he's born for the outsider. And we're going to walk through with this question. We're going to use this question to go through with us. Who did God come for? And hopefully you see as we go through, it's maybe not exactly who you might think. And I hope that you can find yourself in there till the end. That's where we're going with that. So we are going to look at it in three different stages. Sort of go back to the Old Testament and look at Moses and the Israelites. And then we're going to fast forward to the birth of Christ. And then we're going to think in our day. And I know we talked about Moses as a church not long ago, but I thought it fit and it was worth mentioning. So this might not be too new for some of you, but stick with me, because I think this is how, as you look at how God got involved in the Israelites' life when they were enslaved down in Egypt, we're going to see a lot of connections to that and to how he does in the birth of Christ. So, Exodus 2, a man by the tribe of Levi married, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son who was Moses. When they saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. You might remember she hid him because they were killing off the baby boys, the Israelite boys at that time, Pharaoh and the king. It was not a good time to be born if you were a young Israelite boy. But Moses was born of a prestigious line of the tribe of Levi. Like, he had a lot of potential in that sense, but born in a very difficult time. And so she hid him, his mom hid him for 3 months, but when she couldn't hide him any longer, she made a basket, coated it with tar and pitch. They placed the child in the Nile, in the river. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And again, Moses had a very troubled upbringing in that sense. If you know the storyline, as they put the basket in the Nile, Pharaoh's daughter found the basket, and then they actually miraculously reconnected with the mom to raise the child. And then when the child was older, the mom took Moses to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses at that time, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So again, think about that. This young child, abandoned at birth, right, in a sense, put on the Nile, adopted as as the child grew older, we don't know the exact age there, definitely had a difficult start. And we don't even know his name until Pharaoh's daughter names him Moses. So definitely a rough beginning, I would say. Definitely a challenging start to life. But he's in the king's family, and he gets an awesome education. And we fast forward a little bit to age 40. When we get here one day, after Moses had grown up, this is around his 40s, he went out to where his own people were, and he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And again, see, the nation of Israel was down in Egypt. And he sees this conflict. Apparently, Moses grew up to have a little bit of an anger management problem, because as he walked up to this situation, he ends up getting involved, starts fighting, joins the fight, and ends up killing the Egyptian. So he becomes a murderer, okay? This guy has a record at that point, and he's on the run. He leaves town. He literally goes you know, out into the wilderness, ends up upon the Midianites. And he's like a stranger that just comes into a town, ends up staying with this person, ends up marrying that person's daughter. And he wakes up one day, verse 22 here, and he says, I've become a foreigner in a foreign land. And I can just imagine him waking up and he's saying, what in the world am I doing? Where am I at? What is going on? Like, how did I end up here? And I'm in my 40s right now. And I don't know what season of life you're in, but it's been great. We actually, if you saw us online, we just posted, Karen posted some wonderful pictures of us when we just celebrated 20 years of marriage. Isn't that nice? Thank you very much. So there's some very young-looking pictures on Karen's Facebook if you want to go see them. But it's been awesome. It's great. But it's also been a real challenge, the season of life, you know, with raising children or the busyness or whatever. It's been taking a lot of effort. In some ways, can identify with Moses when he's saying, how did we get here? What are we doing? And, you know, it was at that same time in the text, in the storyline, we hear about Israel again and God's heart for Israel. And they're at a very bad place. They're at a tough place. I think this song captures it quite well. Let's see if it works for you as it comes up here. I think it sort of captures where they're at, literally. Like, they're enslaved. They are struggling. They're in desperate need of help. They absolutely are in desperate need of help. I mean, think about it. At their time, their children were being taken away and slaughtered. And they were being overworked to the point of death. I mean, they had to get out of this place. They were desperate to get out of that place. And I can't imagine that there weren't leaders there amongst their clan that were like the chatter. Like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get out? We have to figure something out. I don't know. I just can't imagine that there weren't a few people there trying to figure it out at the time. But you know what God did? God chose Moses. He comes to Moses in chapter 3. Moses is a shepherd. He's out tending a flock for his father-in-law. That's not a real prestigious job. The angel of the Lord comes to him. You know, the bush is on fire, right? And what's the angel say? The angel says, hey, I want to rescue Israel. I want to get them out of that place. I want to get out. And actually, Moses, I'm sending you. I'm going to send you down there. And he's like, who am I? You're sending me? And I can imagine in that moment, he's defined by his past. He thinks about the abandonment as a child. He thinks about being raised outside. He thinks, I'm not even in that town anymore. I'm far away at this point. Why me? What are you going to do with me? And see, who did God come for? He came for the outsider. He came in that situation for the most unsuspecting leader. It's pretty cool. It's an incredible win for Moses, for the Israelites, like subbed in off the bench. You know what I mean? When he goes to be that leader, he's 80 years old. God's not done with you. Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing. Okay, so that's the first one. Who did God come for? We're going to fast forward to the first Christmas day. All right, in those days, this is incredible. Because again, we'll see shepherds again. We'll see God using unusual people. And he uses crazy characters. Look at this. In the first day of Jesus, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Isn't this something how God uses the decree of a pagan emperor and two teenagers who he sends traveling cross country, Mary and Joseph, to get what he wants accomplished. And what does he get accomplished? Well, they don't find a room, right? Except for a really rough stone, some sort of room. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know there was animals there as well. We know baby Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is laying in a manger, an animal food trough. Okay? Think about that. The one who formed the galaxies and spoke them into existence now is in an animal food trough, and he can't talk. He has to learn to speak, learn his first word, just like we did. The humility of that, right? He came as a simple child, as a babe, okay? So we get a little picture of that first time. But what happened there? How did God announce this? He says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, all right? The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Do you see the connections? Just like Moses was a shepherd out in the wilderness doing nothing. The angel shows up. There's fear. It's the same thing that happens here. God chose the shepherds. Why did he choose the shepherds? What the heck was he thinking? That's not a good marketing plan. You know? Why would you go to the shepherds? I was given a book by Matt Chandler, An Even Better Christmas, and this is what he writes about shepherds. Everyone knows that shepherds are a key part of the Christmas story. Many of us have memories, dressing up as kids in a sheet and a towel, because that's exactly what first century Middle Eastern shepherds wore. So, when I tell you God sent an angel to appear to shepherds, you just say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Shepherds were, in fact, the least likely people God would choose to include in what he was doing in the world. In the first century Judea, shepherds were considered outsiders on the edges of normal society. They were so mistrusted, their testimony was inadmissible evidence in the court of the law. First century Jews believed that God didn't like the shepherds. They certainly didn't like them either. The most pious of Jews would not buy milk, lamb, or wool from the shepherds. They assumed it was stolen. The religious elite of the day saw them as unclean, filthy, unwanted, and outside of God's favor. There is no more disreputable an occupation than that of a shepherd. Isn't that something? God chose shepherds. They were not the people that you would necessarily think of that would be chosen in this situation to share the greatest news, the world-changing news of all time. And they're the first person that he went to. It's interesting to think about this. Why shepherds? I think, again, you see, God is for the outsider, all right? He's for those that are on the edges, those that are on the margins. You see that. I love that about Jesus. You know, when he walked on earth, what did he get accused of all the time? His pattern in life was to find people on the edges, to find people that others wouldn't talk to. They talked about the tax collectors and the sinners that he's hanging out and he's eating at their house. He went there to them. That was his pattern. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful because I hope each and every one of us can realize, and I hope that we can identify and say, hey, we're an outsider. On Friday, I was just hanging a little bit, and I was working on sermon stuff. And Braxton called me from the skate park, one of the guys out there. Yeah, and he's like, hey, can we go Christmas shopping? He asked if I could take him Christmas shopping. I was like, sure. Had plenty of things to do, but, well, let's go do that. That sounds like fun. And we go do some Christian shopping, and I was asking him, I'm like, hey, who do you think the outsiders are today? And he's like, well, action sports, you know, it's, as skaters, we've always been considered outside of normal society, outside of the regular stuff that way. I'm like, all right, that's cool, and maybe I'll use it. And so I love that about this church, about other churches in this community, that we're partnering on an initiative that is outside, it's on the edges, it's on the fringe of our community. It's really cool. And if you've been tracking online at all, we have this is a little bit of the progress of the project out there. The building is going up quick. And they got it under roof this last week, which is incredible. It's watertight, so that means they can work all winter. And it should be built by the end of March, they're saying. And we're hoping to have a grand opening the end of April, April 27th, so save the date. And just really looking forward. It's awesome to see what God is doing and all the different people that are getting involved in that. But I have the great privilege today. I'm going to invite Dalton up here. Dalton's one of the young guys from the park. And come on up. And he's going to share. He's got a passion. I noticed online a few months ago, maybe a month or two ago. I forget what it was, Dalton. But he shared about this passion to serve in a third world country. And I was like, Third world country, that sounds cool. We ought to do that. This is Dalton. And
how are you?
Are you going to say your favorite line?
Oh, my favorite line. I'm incredibly uncomfortable on mics, so just look at Dave. All
right, I thought it was, why are all these people looking at me? Wasn't that what it is?
It's whatever.
So tell us a little.
I'm going to stand like this. Okay. How are you guys doing? But
tell us a little bit about desire that you had, or this vision, or this passion that you had.
I essentially had, I'd say, a dream or a vision. I'm coming up on 2 years of essentially the best part of my life. I'm almost 2 years sober, and
isn't that awesome?
And essentially, I've kind of gotten to this point. I'm helping a couple of my closest friends do and embark on the same journey that I'm currently going through with fighting sobriety. And essentially, I had a dream with watching Dave do everything that he's doing with the people closest to us in our backyard, helping with the skate park and everything that he does here at the church and everything. And I had the idea to go and help somebody that wasn't in my backyard, somebody that I don't necessarily even speak the same language as, but I know I have a common ground, and we have a common ground with action sports, with skateboarding and biking and things of that sort. I ended up, after having these thoughts for about a month, I ended up having a dream that I was going to go, I didn't even know where, but I knew that I was going to go help other people, and I had like a whole vivid dream about it, and I ended up posting something on Instagram that I want to go to a third world country, and I want to go donate my time and volunteer and go and help people. And Dave ended up seeing that, and it's now coming to fruition that we're going to go and help people that are not in our backyard, and it's all coming true.
It's really cool. We ended up connecting with Christian Skaters, which is out of Florida, and we had a conference call with the guy down there, the director down there, and he's like, hey, this Christian surfers group in El Salvador, they had just reached out to them, and they were looking for help with their surf camp and a skate camp in March. And we were like, hey, we don't know how to surf, but we can definitely do the skate camp. And we learned how to surf, right?
I'm going to learn how to surf.
So, yeah, it's really cool. It's neat how God put these connections together. But, the coolest part for me is to see it's Dalton's vision. It's his passion. And God is showing up in his life in another very real way. It's so exciting. I am very proud of you.
God has shown up in a huge way for us in the last, I'd say, like 3 weeks since everything has been in motion. And like things have been coming together and people have been reaching out. And we have 6 to 8 to maybe even 10 people that are interested in going and helping for this vision that I have. And God has showed up in a huge way just for a simple little like 5-word sentence that I posted on Instagram. And it's turned into potentially we're going to be able to go help the needy and give them groceries and teach kids how to woodwork and build ramps and teach kids how to skateboard and surf. And there's so much.
That is awesome.
So much to be grateful for.
I want to pray. You mind if I pray for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And pray over this situation. So the connection to the church here with the Christmas offering, as we look at sending students out, we'll be helping those families in need in our church, in our community. As we look at sending students out, that Christmas offering will go to support sending the Karen trip, the Nashville trip, and if there's some funds left over after that, we're going to be putting that towards sending these guys and sending us out over to El Salvador there. So we just thank you for your involvement in that, but more importantly, thank you for your prayers, too, as we prepare for all that. So is it okay if I pray?
Yeah.
God, thank you so much for Dalton, and thank you for what you're doing already in his life, how you have worked in his life. I'm so proud of Dalton and the steps that he's taken to be at this point in life. And I know it's not perfect. I know it's still a mess. But you are the God of the mess. And Lord, I pray you continue to show up in Dalton's life in real ways. And as we think towards this trip too, Lord, and towards this vision of serving in a third world country, Lord, I pray that you continue to go before that and continue to pave the way if it's your desire, and bring the families together, bring the students together that'll be going over. And Lord, just make that happen as you would see fit. So we love you, Lord. Just commit all this into your hands. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's give Dalton a round of applause.
Yeah.
Ah, so awesome. I absolutely love that. So we talked about who did God come for? He came for the most unsuspecting leader in Moses. He came for those on the edges of society. And finally, we're going to look at John's account. We're going to shoot through this quick, but this is really cool too. As John, the Gospel of John, in verse 14, as he looks at that first Christmas, all right, and he describes it this way. He says, the Word became flesh. All right, the Word, God, the Word, the same Word that spoke the world into existence became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word is, when he's talking about flesh here, it's like this almost this crude explanation or describing Christ's humanity, the relational side. God walked into our world, all right? And John says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's seen his glory. See, just like Moses at the bush, or Moses in the wilderness, the nation of Israel, or just like those shepherds out on that hill that night when the angel shows up, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. All right, John says, we saw that glory. We saw that glory, and it's full of grace, full of truth. That statement has just spoken into my life this last week, last 2 weeks in a very real way. You know, apart from grace, we can't survive the presence of the Lord. We can't. He sees, his truth sees right through us. Right through us. And so, personally, I've had some awesome wins. What God is doing in this community, what God is doing in our life, in our family, it's absolutely awesome. It's incredible. Some great wins. I've also had a pretty significant failure at times here lately. You know, where I realized that I messed it up. I messed it up big time. And it was no one else's fault. Like, it was me. You know, it was something I did. And it's like at those moments, like God, Jesus, he's full of truth. Like he sees it. And we're guilty and we can't do nothing about it. It stinks. It's a terrible place to be. And it's the reality. And I remember journaling. I actually came across a sermon. It was by Andy Stanley. It was called The Unsettling Solution to Just About Anything. It's one of the sermons from that series, and he talks about this concept. And it's hard for us to fathom. We try to balance grace and truth all the time. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. So yes, absolutely condemned, and I felt that, all right? But on the other side of that, he is full of grace. He's full of acceptance and forgiveness, not because he's okay with what we did, no. Because of what he did through his birth and through his death and resurrection, we find forgiveness. We can find freedom. We can find hope. See, why did he come? Jesus came for the outcast. He came for you and I. He was born for you and I. And you see this as you look at John, verse 9, he says, the true light. See, Jesus is light and he is life. John's constantly talking about that. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The world, though, the world was made through him. Even though the world, he created all of that, the world didn't recognize him. All right? That's how the world responded. He created it all. He is light in darkness. But no, the world didn't recognize him. He says he came to his own people, verse 11. He came to the nation of Israel. He came to his family. He was a Jew himself. They didn't receive him. But the beauty of grace, the beauty of Christmas, the hope of Christmas, yet to all who did, to any and everyone, whoever did receive him, whoever believes in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, we're not defined by our past. We're not defined by our present even. We're defined as to whether we are a child of God, a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. Isn't that a beautiful thing? See, when you think about it, why did he come? He came for the outsider. He came for the underdog. He came for those that are at a troubled point in your life. He came for you and me. He came so that we could be honest, so that we could be honest with ourselves, so that we could be honest with where we're at. He came so we don't have to stay there. Like, we don't have to be bent over in shame. He came so that we could have life. I hope you hear that this Christmas. I hope that you find hope, you know, in such a real way. Can you hear Jesus say, I am for you, no matter where you're at? Maybe you find yourself like Moses, you know, in a sea of doubt. He says, I believe in you. I'm for you. Maybe you find yourself like shepherds, scared out of their wits. It's like, I'm with you. I came for you. Maybe you find yourself in a serious failure, you know, something you totally blew it. He says, I forgive you. Try again. Let's go at this. Let's start over. We're going for it again. You know, I went to the dentist this week, and you know, usually that's not a very, not the best experience, but actually, she asked how I was doing, and I was like, oh, I'm doing pretty good, a little busy, you know, a lot going on, but all in all good. And the lady I was with there, she said, that's, if there's one word that she's heard from people, it's been that busyness. And so when I say I went to the dentist, I actually found a little bit of joy in like laying down on that thing and like almost fell asleep and just resting, couldn't go anywhere or answer anything or do anything for an hour. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe we'll try to end sort of there. Just taking a breath. And I found a song. We're going to play a song here. And just allow Jesus, allow his words, allow what he did at Christmas, allow the words of the song, maybe to speak to your heart. He's for you. He's absolutely for you. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is for you. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Yeah, love it. Heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone. You all should have one of these. Make sure you grab it. If you have one in your hand, why don't you pick one up now? I want to make sure you understand, next Sunday, when we come to next Sunday, we are not having services in the morning, but we are having a 4 and a 6 o'clock next Sunday. It's an Eve services, okay? And then on Christmas Eve, we'll be here at 4 and 6 as well. But I want to challenge you. Heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone, okay? That even means that coworker that you're with, that you have to deal with, that is a real struggle, you know, or that neighbor that, man, you just really, you know, not real happy with them in the moment. Or, you know, who knows who God is going to randomly bring across your path this week. Heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone. That includes us. That includes the people you're going to interact with this week. And I just encourage you, don't be afraid to use this or just to engage in a conversation about who Jesus is and why he came. He came for the outcast. He was born for the outsider. He was born for those on the edges. He was born for you and me. So have a wonderful week.